We're coming this afternoon to conclude our studies in the book of Philippians. I hope that the study has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. I've been greatly encouraged studying this epistle. It has been a real source of strength, blessing to my own heart and life. And I pray that you have gleaned from this epistle as we have studied its chapters. As we come to the end of this epistle and to our last message today, I want to draw your attention very simply to the subject, the saints of God. The saints of God. Look what we read in Philippians 4, verse 21 and 22. The first part of verse 21 says, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus." Now look at the beginning of verse 22. "All the saints salute you." This, of course, is one of many descriptions of God's people that we have in the Bible. The name saint is describing the Christian's relationship with God. And we're going to say more about that just in a moment. But you know, there's much confusion and much misunderstanding today concerning what a saint really is. But hopefully after this meeting, there'll be no one confused. I'm sure that the majority of us, if not all of us, are quite aware what a saint of God is, what it means to be a saint of God. But as I've said, there's much misunderstanding in this world in which we live. Therefore, as we come to consider this subject, I want to look at it very simply under three headings. First of all, we want to consider the false conception of a saint. And then, secondly, we want to look at the true definition of a saint. And then, thirdly, very simply, we want to look at the wondrous glorification of a saint. And I pray as we come to deal with this subject and look at this subject today under these three headings, that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. Pray that it might be a blessing. The message might be a blessing to those of us who are saved, those of us who are the saints of God. But I do pray that even for those in our congregation who are still unsaved, that the Lord will take his word and write it upon your heart and upon your soul, because there's a very simple but a very clear message here for everyone in the meeting today without the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Redeemer. First of all, notice with me the false conception of a saint. The Church of Rome and many others have a false conception of a saint of God. Rome says that the church alone can make a person a saint. I'm sure that you've all heard of Rome's doctrine of canonization. According to the teaching of the Church of Rome, canonization is the act by which the Catholic Church declares a deceased person to be a saint. In other words, after someone is dead, the Church of Rome decides whether that person is good enough or holy enough to become a saint of God. And according to Rome, you cannot become a saint unless the Pope says so. Therefore, you cannot become a saint, according to the Church of Rome, until you die. And only the Church of Rome, with the authority of the Pope, can confer sainthood on a person. Now, this, of course, is a false conception and a lie. And it is totally and absolutely unscriptural. And anyone with any knowledge of the Bible at all would know that Rome's teaching on this doctrine is spurious and unscriptural. However, the sad reality is that the Roman Catholic people believe this falsehood and are blinded to the truth. This doctrine of canonization is a doctrine of hell and has come from the devil in order to blind men to the truth. You see, Satan's purpose in spreading false doctrine and false conceptions is to keep men away from seeing the truth about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says about the devil that the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. What a sad and corrupt doctrine that would teach that sinful men can make other sinful men saints, or that sinful men can determine who can be saints. What an evil religion is Rome. What an evil and corrupt system is popery. And men and women, you and I must always remember that, and we must never forget it, and we must teach that truth to our children, that Rome and the Church of Rome and the system of popery is totally unscriptural and ungodly. Not only is Rome wrong on this doctrine, but Rome is wrong on so many doctrines. However, this false conception of a saint of God is not only seen in the teaching of the Church of Rome, but it is also seen in the false teaching of ecumenical Protestantism. Ecumenical Protestantism teaches that a saint of God is one who is simply religious, good living, confirmed, baptized, or church going. No mention of the new birth, no mention of regeneration, no mention of a personal relationship through a saving faith in Jesus Christ. No, as long as you go to church, take communion, and be religious, then you're a saint of God. And the sad reality is that across Ulster and across Ireland and across this United Kingdom and indeed across this world today, there are thousands, tens of thousands of Protestants sitting in churches, and they're being taught that as long as you do your best and are religious and are confirmed, that you're a saint of God, therefore when you come to die, you'll automatically get into heaven. Men and women, this also is a false conception of a saint of God. You're not a saint because you come to church. You're not a saint because you ascribe to a creed. You're not a saint because you've been baptized. You're not a saint because you've been through confirmation. No! These are false conceptions of what a saint truly is. Paul spoke about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is a saint of God? Well, secondly, I want you to notice the true definition of a saint. Now, I want you to listen very carefully here, because this is of the utmost importance. As Paul draws to the end of his epistle, as he writes to the Philippian church, he describes them as saints. And he describes believers as saints. The Bible gives us the true definition of a saint. The word saint means a holy one, a set apart one, a sanctified one. Now, these are descriptions of every child of God. Now, sometimes the child of God may not feel like a saint or act like a saint or even live like a saint. There are times when we may not be very saint-like. But the truth is this, that all Christians, if they're saved and born again of the Spirit of God, they are saints. Therefore, a saint is a child of God. A saint is one who is saved by the grace of God. A saint is one who has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. A saint is one whose life has been changed and transformed by the power of God. All believers without exception, are saints. My friend, if you're not a saint before you die, you will definitely never be a saint after you die. You have to become a saint while you're upon this earth. In other words, you must get saved before you die, or you'll not go to heaven. When a person repents of their sin and by faith trusts Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, they become a saint of God. You see, a saint is simply another description of the child of God. And of course, God's people are described many different ways in the Bible, as you will know. We're described as the redeemed. We're described as Christians. We're described as believers. We're described as the church of the firstborn, and so on. And one of the names that God has placed upon his people is this name of a saint. God's people are continually described as saints in the Bible. First of all, in the New Testament, just take a look again at Philippians. Look at chapter 1. We'll go right back to the start. And verse 1, Paul says this, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. Paul described the Christians at Philippi as the saints in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Underline the text. This time Paul is writing to the Christians at Rome, and he describes them as the saints of God. Look at verse 7 of Romans 1. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Underline that. Child of God, you and I who are saved, we have been called to be saints. When Paul again wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 2, he described them as saints. And of course, there were times they weren't very saint-like. But look how Paul describes them in verse 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. And then in Ephesians 1 verse 1, he described the Christians at Ephesus the same way. Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. And Colossians 1 verse 2, Paul described the Christians at Colossae the same. He said, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. So you can see here very simply and very clearly that a saint of God is one who has been saved by God's grace, one who is in the family of God, one who has been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, in the Old Testament, God's people are described as saints. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9, we read these words, He will keep the feet of his saints. And in Psalm 16, verse 2 and 3, the psalmist said this, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth. There, the psalmist speaks about the saints that are in the earth, and he was speaking about, of course, the people of God. Psalm 145, verse 10, again the psalmist says this, All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Thy saints shall bless thee. A saint is one who delights in God's word, who loves the place of prayer, who longs after the God of heaven, whose life is devoted to Christ, their Savior, and who are burdened for those who are dying in sin. A saint is one who seeks to serve the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind. Are you beginning to see the true definition of a saint? My friend, I have only drawn your attention to a few of the verses in the Bible where God's people are described as the saints of God. You know, you and I in the Free Presbyterian Church, we take these wonderful truths so for granted. We take them for granted. But we should never take them for granted. Because there are people outside these doors. And they sit in places of worship every week. And they don't know
they have never had explained to them what a saint of God is. Isn't that sad? Isn't it a wonderful privilege to come to a gospel preaching church? Isn't it a wonderful privilege to sit under the sound of the gospel? Isn't it a wonderful honor to be able to come here week by week and hear God's word simply preached? Oh, let me say to the young people in this church, never take your privileges for granted. For someday they could be taken from you. The liberty that we have to worship here in this fashion someday could be taken from us. We ought to thank God for an open Bible. And we ought to thank God that we have the eyes that we can read it and that we can understand it and that God's Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. Now, there's many things that we could say about the saints of God, about the people of God. But our text in Philippians chapter 4, and I want you to turn back again to Philippians chapter 4, reveals unto us one of the important characteristics of the saints of God. And that wonderful and important characteristic is that the Christian or the saints of God love one another in Christ. You see, here at the end of Philippians chapter 4, Paul emphasizes Christian affection, the one for the other. I wonder, did you pick that up as we read those three verses at the end of Philippians chapter 4? You'll notice if you take a look at it that four times in our text, Paul uses the word greet or greeting. The word greet here means embrace. It means offering the hand with much affection. It means to receive all of God's people into the warmest of our affections. That's what the word greet means. Look what it says in verse 21. Salute or greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints greet you. Chiefly they, there's the greet again. Chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Therefore, the saints of God are those who have a Christian affection towards their fellow believers in Christ. Indeed, the Bible says that this love and affection among Christians, among the saints of God, is an evidence of grace in the life of a true saint of God. You say to me, preacher, how do you know you're saved? Well, there's many ways that I can know that I'm saved. I know I'm saved because the Holy Spirit dwells within me and leads me and guides me into all truth. I know I'm saved because the Bible tells me, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know I'm saved because God has given me a desire to pray. Before I was saved, I had no desire to pray. I couldn't pray. But from the day the Lord saved me, he gave me this desire to pray. And the Lord has given me a desire to seek to spread the message of the gospel. His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm a child of his. But I also know I'm saved because God has implanted within my heart and soul a love for other Christians, indeed for all of God's people. That's one of the evidences that you know you're saved. Turn over to 1 John for a moment, chapter 2. What a tremendous text of scripture we have here. I can remember on one occasion a man saying to me, and he professed to be a Christian, he says, I hate that person, and I'll never forgive that person. Well, my friend, that's not the spirit of a Christian, and that's not the spirit of a saint of God. No matter what anyone has done on you, you should be able to forgive them.
And especially if they're a saint of God, a fellow believer. Look what it says here in 1 John 2, verse 9 to 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. John here is speaking to God's people, by the way. He's speaking here to the saints of God. And he says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now look at chapter 4 of 1 John. My encouragement to you would be to read all of 1 John, because this truth is brought out time and time again throughout the whole epistle, but we're just picking out a few verses. Look at 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from you, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I believe John there is pointing out, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that one of the many evidences that you know you're saved is that you will love your brother in the Lord. And here we have Paul, as he comes to the end of his epistle in Philippians chapter 4, and he's exhorting the saints of God to embrace one another, to offer the hand with much affection. That's what the word Greek means, as I have said, to receive all of God's people into the warmest of their affections. Tremendous portion of Scripture, isn't it? Certainly, it's a truth that you and I all would need to learn in this 21st century. But let me ask this question just before we move on. Are you a saint of God? As you're gathered in this church today, can you truly say that you're saved by God's grace and redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Are you in the family of God? Oh, my friend, if you're not, then come today and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And thank God you can leave God's house rejoicing, knowing that your sins are forgiven and knowing that you're a true saint of God. If you're not a saint before you die, you'll never be a saint after you die. And no church or no pope or no priest or no system will be able to make you a saint. You need to be a saint now. You need to be born again now. You need to come to Christ now. Now, thirdly, I want you to notice the wondrous glorification of a saint. Every true saint of God who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ will go to heaven, where they will receive a glorified body. Justification means sanctification, and sanctification means glorification. Thank God. Justification is the act of God's free grace. That moment the sinner calls upon the Lord, they're saved. And then from that day, that work of sanctification is done in their lives. And then at the end of life's journey, praise God, they leave this scene of time and they enter into their glorification. The saints of God in heaven. In the Epistle of Jude, we read a most interesting truth. When Christ the King returns to this earth the second time, and the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again the second time, but when he does, he will be accompanied by the saints from heaven. Jude 1 verse 14, underline these words. It's a tremendous text of Scripture. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, and he's prophesying here the second coming of Christ, not the first coming, but the second coming of Christ. He says this, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Well, you see, those loved ones that have died in Christ have gone on before.
They're very much alive. As we are gathered here in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church today, they're in heaven singing the praises of the Lamb. And when the Lord Jesus comes back, and if he was to come back today, those saints in heaven that are there at this moment would return with Christ. That's what this text of Scripture is simply teaching us. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. These saints, of course, as we have said, the saints that have died and gone home to heaven down through the centuries, down through the ages. Therefore, when the Lord Jesus returns to this earth again, his glorified saints will return with him. O child of God, you and I, who are the saints of God, have a most glorious prospect. Heaven is our home. The day will come when these vile bodies of ours will be changed and glorified, and we as the saints of God will reign with Christ for all eternity. We have already noticed this subject in these studies in the book of Philippians. To look again at Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Isn't it wonderful? This old body that we're in at the moment is dying. It's full of sin. It's decaying. Someday it will be put into Mother Earth and it will corrupt away. But thank God when the trumpet sounds, the Lord shall return, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's what 1 Corinthians 15, verses 52 to 54 teaches us. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Isn't it wonderful to know that someday the saints on earth will join the saints in heaven, and we'll ever be with the Lord for all of God's eternity. You see, not only are there saints on earth at this present moment, but at this present moment there are saints in heaven. And if I was to die now, before this Lord's Day was over, I would join the saints in heaven. Why, that's a tremendous truth. And child of God, you and I ought to comfort our hearts with that truth, and we ought to thank God for these wonderful old truths from the book of God. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite love, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. Glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory. Be glory for me. Isn't it a tremendous truth? It's hard for us to fully understand what happens when a saint of God dies, for we just look at the corpse. But oh, dear child of God, the moment that saint takes his or her last breath upon this scene of time, they enter into the courts of heaven. Another saint has gone home to glory. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Isn't that what the hymn writer penned? And he also penned this, "But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there." My friend, are you going to join the saints in heaven? Are you going to join the saints around the throne of glory. You're going to sing. Are you going to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb? Are you going to worship the Lord for all eternity? Well, if you are, if you're going to be a saint in heaven, you need to make preparation today and become a saint on earth. Would you come? Would you trust him? Would you be saved? The saints of God. Are you one of them? If you're not, come today. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the simple, clear teaching of thy word. Oh God, we thank thee for the day when you saved us and made us a saint of God. Lord, we do confess that oftentimes we're not very saint-like. We don't feel like saints. And sometimes, Lord, indeed more than often, we don't act like saints. And yet, Lord, that's how you've described us. That's the name that you've placed upon us. Oh God, I pray in these days that we would be those ones that would be set apart. That we would be those ones that would be sanctified ones. And oh God, give us a deeper love, the one for the other. And help us, Lord, when we greet one another. Help us, Lord, to realize that we're greeting a fellow saint in the Lord. Oh God, we just pray for those in our congregation who are still unsaved. They're not the saints of God. They can't be described as the redeemed of the Lord. Oh God, even today, draw them and bring them to Christ for time and for all of God's eternity. Jesus' precious, precious name, we ask it. Amen. 400 or 604 is our